Coming up a little later on, in fact, after the next ad break, once you get your bingo numbers, we'll be joined in studio by four students from the ATU in Letterkenny. They are younger people. Curious we are to sort of find out what's important to them, what might make them vote, if they're going to vote, and their views on their peers' opinions and so on and so forth, all that kind of stuff. We'll tease it out as we go. If you've sort of any questions in relation to that, you know, it's not just me, you can ask questions. Get in touch with us, 086 60 25,000. Also, it's World Kindness Day today, and we are looking for your stories of kindness, kindness that you've been the recipient of. We've got three wonderful 50-euro vouchers to give away in the show today. Almost forgot to mention this again. One is for Arnold's, a beautiful shop, of course. One is for County Seat, doing fantastic work in fitting you out. And the other is Century Cinema, providing lots and lots of entertainment. Tabletop, Mike, is what I said, if you don't mind. Tabletop, thank you. Tabletop. just looking to set things up here. Thanks, Joe. By the way, sorry. So if you have been the recipient of kindness and you want to be in with a chance to win one of these vouchers, you can spend it on yourself. You can give it to the person who was kind to you, or you can share it with them. It's completely up to you, right? Just send in your stories of kindness to 086 60 25,000. We'll cover this in the last hour of the show. Or give us a call and relate it, if that suits you, 07491 25,000. Or send us the story through a WhatsApp voice message, if that suits you as well. Also coming up later on, we'll have the latest business news with Chris Ashmore. And there's so much more besides. Some of your comments here. What's going on with the traffic lights at McClay's Corner coming from Letterkenny? It takes forever to change. People jumping lights. Don't know what the story is, to be honest with you. Blocked road. This is yesterday as it relates to getting the kids to school. Why didn't that woman park a car and walk with her children 200 metres to the school instead of driving 600 or 6,000 metres? Well, firstly, that junction was chaos. There would have been nowhere that I could see to park the car. Secondly, they weren't given advance notice. And we're up on the turn, and then it was, nope, you have to do your 6 kilometre round journey. So there's always, these people aren't lazy, there just was no option. Greg, the demand doesn't exist for houses because social housing income limits in Donegal are too low. They haven't been adjusted for inflation in years, so there's no demand because next to no one qualifies anymore. I'm the only breadwinner in my house. I have to pay 60% of my income a month out on rent because I earn about 500 more a year than the income limits for this country. That's in relation to a person who had a house in Falkara, a 3-bedroomed house, and they offered it to the council, who weren't taking it on effectively because they said there wasn't demand for it. Now, I can tell you that in Falkara, it's got 31 first preference needs, people with first preference needs, a second preference of 16 and a third preference of 5. So people on the social housing waiting list, the first preference for them is 31 in Falkara, second preference 16 and third preference 5. So that sounds like an awful lot of demand for a house in Falkara. And we have a gentleman with a fully refurbished house in Falkara, 3-bed. And what he wants is the council to sign a lease with him. The council didn't dispute that, it seems, according to him. It's actually the fact that they said there was no demand or other houses were coming on stream. So make of that what you will. Harps, we were talking about Finn Harps as well too, Ian Harkin, earlier in the week, and I just want to get round to some of these messages that I missed. Finn Harps is based in a big GAA area, which affects its support, in my opinion. The BOF location is still ideal location-wide with its access routes. Another issue is that Donegal has a lot of soccer clubs, and it's not easy supporting everyone. There's only so much people can do. Hi, last one before the break. I'm just wondering if there is something you can bring up on air. I was issued a home via Clwyd Housing in July. We were told it would be ready in September, then November, and now they're hoping to close the sale in December, but they're unsure. My eviction was up in the middle of August, and I'm doing my best to hold out until I get my keys. I have a husband and 3 young children. They're 7, 18 months and 5 months. I'm continuously hounded daily by my landlord to be out, which I do understand, but I can't leave my children out in the streets, can I? I just want the word out there to see if anyone else has been in the same situation. What can I do? I'm in a constant fear of panic that she'll just come down and personally evict us, as she does have keys to the property. It's the weeks leading up to Christmas, and I don't know where we're going to be. We can't stay with family, as our parents' home is overcrowded as is. I apologise for my long message. This is my last resort, as I'm actually desperate. Many thanks. Right, OK, I don't know what the legality of that situation is. It's a horrible situation that you find yourselves in. There's that light at the end of the tunnel of the Clwyd House, which is great news, and hopefully that comes to fruition for you very, very soon. But they're overstaying their welcome with their current landlord. They were due out in mid-August. The Clwyd House may not be available until the new year, and they're just fearful that at any stage they could be forcibly evicted. What's the situation? What protections do they have, if any? What advice would you have for our listener? And by the way, please never worry about long-winded, as you described, long-winded messages. None of them are long-winded. It's great to get them. And if we can offer any support or assistance, we will try to. But I'll throw it out to the listeners in the first instance to see what they have to say. OK, now I have in studio with me four students from the ATU in Letterkenny. And we're going to be talking to them, I suppose, about voting, if they're inclined to vote, what they'll be voting on, the important issues to them, and so on and so forth. So we'll tease it out as we go. Let's say good morning to them first. And I want to say hello to Mohammed Madani Memon. Thank you so much for joining us. You are a second-year student at the ATU.
Yes, I'm currently a second-year penultimate student.
Okay, just move a little closer to that mic, Mohammed. You quite softly spoke. You are a second-year student. Your first time voting?
Oh, yeah, it is my first time voting.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. We'll talk a lot more about that. Aoife Gethings, good morning to you.
Morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. We've got Joseph Sweeney, a final-year student at ATU. Hey, Joseph.
Good morning.
And last but not least, Aisling Doherty, who is a student at ATU in Donegal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right, okay. So are all of you voting for the first time, or have any of you voted in any of the elections heretofore? You have?
I have.
Right, okay. So how engaged are you in this whole process at the moment?
I look at it from a lot of different perspectives, as a mother, first of all, then as a student, and then what I would like to see happening. I know I voted in the last general election, which would have been my first time voting.
Can I ask who you voted for in the last election?
I voted for my only local TD. Female TD. Uh-huh. And it was, I like to see women in politics, but I also, her manifesto stood out to me.
Yeah, okay. And what party was she with?
She was Sinn Féin.
Sinn Féin, okay. So, and you're going to go again for Sinn Féin, I understand. We're all right talking about our voting preferences, aren't we?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Why Sinn Féin?
If you look at the last 100 years, it has been Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. When Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil took office there 4 years ago, there was 3,000 people homeless. You look at it now, there's nearly 16,000 people homeless today. A lot of them are children. Poverty is up through the roof. There's a lot of things that have gone down, and it's very hard to balance the positives and the negatives. So it's time for change, and I don't like to use their logo, but it genuinely is time to see a new, fresh set of eyes.
Are you still convinced that Sinn Féin actually can deliver the change they're offering? Do you believe they are distinct enough from Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to present change?
I believe that they need to be given the chance to, and if in 4 years' time they turn around and buckle it, then fair enough, call another general election, but they have to be given the chance. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have thrown people under the bus for the last 100 years. Things have gotten gradually worse, and I think now is a time to, as a country, we're adapting, we're more inclusive. We've come a long way socially, but it's about time politically we came off the throne of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil dominate the whole country.
Joseph, your vote's still there to be won.
It is, yeah, absolutely. Look, I'd be left-leaning personally.
That mean nowadays?
Well, look, it has sort of been blown off, that sort of political structure, in terms of the old sort of ideologies of it. But for me, it's, look, in terms of Ireland, it is time for change. In terms of just the left wing, you're looking at sort of perhaps a more liberal in terms of social values, in terms of like economically, just more for sort of everybody. You're looking after sort of the less wealthy rather than pouring it all into one sector, which I believe has been a massive problem recently. I mean, you look at the sort of economy nowadays, everything is on the rise. Nothing looks like it's going to come down anytime soon. And that's why I personally believe that it is time for a change, whether it's Sinn Féin, whether it's Democrats, whether it's 100% redress, something like that. My vote's still there to be won. My vote's still there to be canvassed, but I do believe it's
Do you have a voting tradition in your family?
Not particularly, no. I mean,
right, so you sort of all have always sort of gone wherever the mood take you. How important, Joseph, is being engaged by a candidate to you? In other words, an opportunity to feel that whomever is seeking your vote, they speak to you, they outline, you know, their beliefs, or whether some align to you or others don't, or whatever. Like, is that important to you? Because I think I note that you were disappointed. You were disappointed that Simon Harris didn't meet with people on Tuesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I went up there myself and a few other law students. Manny came up with him as well. Look, I understand there was some things that got in the way in terms of what he didn't explicitly sort of express that he was going to be at this place at a certain time. But it's about accountability for me. It's about giving people reasons, about talking to people. I think of someone like Mary T. Sweeney, for example, who I'm not sure would get my vote essentially yet, but, you know, she's been out.
And would you say her as left-leaning?
I would say left. Well, yeah. In terms of economically, certainly.
Yeah.
Social values, it's up. Depends on the candidate, really.
Yeah, okay. But you're not going to get one candidate that ticks all the boxes, are you? It's sort of
not. Balance. Certainly not. And it's just, for me, about someone that is being accountable to us, someone that's okay to answer are the tough questions. So someone that's out in the community. Like, I know we've had someone like Mary T come into the college a few times, just not particularly canvassing, but coming to different events, like the debate. We had a debate on the referendum last semester. Pierce Doherty, I know, has been in the community and things like that. It's just about people, I suppose, being accountable and being in the community and being available to talk to.
All right, Aisling, we'll be back to you, of course. Aisling Doherty, a student at ATU Donegal Town. ATU Donegal. This is your first roll of the dice. Is it your first opportunity or the first time you've decided to vote?
It's my first time voting in a general election. Mm. But I didn't vote in the referendum just because that day I couldn't get to the
ballot. Just didn't suit you, yeah. Okay. So it's not that you did. It's not that you chose not to. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, I was registered to vote and everything, but this time is my first time voting for anything.
How important is it being able to vote? Do you see it? You know, because there's a lot of people don't register or actually don't exercise their vote. How important is it for you to vote?
I think it's so important, and I think it's really important for people our age as well to, like, come up with what they think should be in government and have their own views and opinions. It's easy for people our age to vote for who our friends are voting for or who, you know, your parents usually vote for.
Well, you come from a tradition of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil voting in your family, which is the story for lots and lots of people, obviously, because they've been in power for a very long time, and it looks probable that that legacy will continue, right? Mm-hmm. So you've been influenced throughout your life, either passively or otherwise, that, you know, you're in a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil household.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you know yet which way you're voting?
I'm not sure. I'm so torn. Like, I'm doing my research, reading going on the different parties' websites, and I agree with a lot of what they're saying, everybody. Mm.
But so, now we're in the period of time where everyone is saying everything.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, do I trust them to actually act on what they're saying?
Is there one particular issue that you have an interest in? Do you know, the stuff is, and I think Mohammed is interested in the VAT rate. You know, we've got particular promises in relation to that. Fianna Fáil are talking about decriminalising cannabis, for an example. There's much more to it, their housing policy and everything. Or you've got Sinn Féin talking about getting rid of means testings for carers. Mm-hmm. Like, is there a single issue that if they said the right thing would tip you in a certain direction to vote?
Well, I know Sinn Féin, and I think there's other parties as well that are talking about abolishing the USC for an average worker.
Yep.
And that would put more money back in our pockets. I think the main thing for me at the minute is the cost of living, and I don't want to have to live under my mum and dad's roof, be a burden to them.
It's really interesting because, and I was going to ask this, and I will in a moment, we'll come to it in a little bit more detail. There's a couple of things I want to go through all of you, and I have to hear from Mohammed as well, is that the American election, as controversial as it is with the controversial characters that were involved in it, it seems to have been settled on the price of grocery shopping, the price of utilities, the price of power. We're paying 40% above the European average for our groceries and stuff. 60% of all of our spend on petrol and diesel, for an example, goes in tax. But it doesn't seem to be the big issue, which I'm really find really quite remarkable. Or maybe it is. Mohammed, good morning to you. Your first time voting, and I understand you're putting a lot of thought into it. Mm-hmm. Why is it? What's important to you?
I would say currently it is sort of like a fact that Ireland is a very wealthy country, and that's a very good thing. But it is completely and utterly disappointing to see that the money is not being used properly at the first place. Because if you see the corporation tax or even the tax revenue that we get in the country, majority of it is the corporation tax. Like if you compare the 2019 one, it was around 10 billion euros. And then post forward to 2023, it was around 23.3 billion euros. And then now it is expected to go up to 40 billion euros. And that is soon after the European Court of Justice has issued the judgment to actually...
Where do you feel that money's going? Do you feel that it's sitting in a bank account and it's not being spent? Do you feel that it's the rich getting richer? Like when we talk about these billions of euro, like it's real money that could actually be really, really spent. Like in your mind's eye, do you think, well, what's actually being done with this money and who's benefiting from it?
Regarding the benefit, I'm not completely and utterly sure because it is in the power of the higher authorities, of course, and the higher power. But I would say that this money is in crucial need to actually go to the health services, because my mother herself, she's a doctor. And believe it or not, like the hospital, they are run by the registrars and the SHOs. Like they are the backbone for it. And majority of the SHOs and registrars, even nurses, they tend to like leave out of the Ireland just because of the poor salary and poor pay and high working times. So I believe if they could be funded a bit more for the amount of time they work and amount of dedication they get, this could actually stop them actually leaving Ireland, which would even improve like the health services and the waiting times in the country. And this would in turn benefit everyone, not only the students. On the contrary, I would even suggest that it would be even the education. Like if they actually fund in the education, mainly, I think it was the Sinn Féin that actually answered the question in terms of actually reducing the student fees, student tuition.
So, well, I think Simon Harris is also talking of getting rid of them altogether, third level fees in time. A lot of the talk about this, and I know some of you listening can't hear Mohammed. I'm going to adjust that mic when we take a break, right? But a lot of the discussion is about spending this Apple tax money on housing, right? You're of the view that whilst housing is a crisis, you'd like to hear more about investment in the health service?
In the housing sector?
No, a lot of the... Like, I was just listening to a few launches today. I think Sinn Féin, People for Profit, and others are talking about putting 7 or 8 billion into housing, using the Apple tax money for that. Mm-hmm. Would you prefer to see more of that money spent in healthcare?
I would say... wherever it is spent, but certainly healthcare is something that is the first necessity of a human being, and it is something that people chase first. Of course, you need shelter, and currently, if you look at the Irish housing crisis that is going on, if the government even enacts to propose like 52,000 houses being built every year for the next 25 years, they would just meet the public demand. Yeah.
But I could say I'm going to build 60,000 million houses every year between now and then. Do any of you question these announcements in terms of, and I see you leaning forward a little bit, Joseph, about delivery? Do you know what I mean? For me, it's really, I want someone to describe to me how you're going to deliver these, because there's staffing issues in construction, right? There's a skills gap there. The people aren't there. Tell me where you're going to get the builders to build the houses. A lot of areas of Donegal, you can't build because of planning. Yeah. Other areas do not have the water or sewage infrastructure, right? Yeah. So I know there are some housing coming online now, but really, I've been so long in this game now, I need you to explain to me, like I'm five, how you're going to deliver these houses. Because making up numbers, like I see you're 32,000 and I raise you to 40,000 houses, you know what I mean? Where are they coming from? Because the truth be told, down in Dublin, there is a ton of housing applications that have been granted. But there's so much power amongst contractors and those companies, right? They're holding the government over a barrel. They're not commencing those houses because they want more breaks from government before they actually start progressing the housing that they have planning permission for. That's the kind of stuff I want to hear people talk about. Anyway, Joseph, I was asking you a question and then I started ranting. No, I just find I just find it so frustrating, you know.
Absolutely. This is the problem, and this is why I think a lot of students struggle to work out who they'd like to vote for, because when they're doing their initial research for things, they see these empty promises, but they don't see an actual plan as to how these things are going to be put together. I know we're in an age where it's like short form video content, just headlines and things like that. But I actually think it's going the other way now in terms of students. They actually want it to be explained to them how these things are going to happen. Not just students, of course, the public as well. So to me, like when I see things like 40,000 houses or whatever else, I don't pay any sort of heed to it.
Let me ask one question then before we go. Mohammed, if you hope to own a house in the next 15 years, do you believe you will? Do you think you'll be able to own a house in the next 10 or 15 years?
Currently, if you talk about the prices of the houses and the way they're increasing every year, especially after the COVID, I believe it is not possible.
Aisling, do you see any hope of owning a house in the next 10, 20 years?
If nothing improves from the next government, then no.
Joseph, what about you?
No, I'm actually looking at houses in the north for when I'm going to actually buy a house.
Okay, and Aoife, I'm not sure. Maybe you have a house, I don't know. But if you don't, do you hope to own a house or do you believe you might?
No, and not in this economy anyway. And I'd just like to go back to the question that you asked, Joseph, about construction and how it's going to happen.
And by the way, Aoife, hold your horses. At any point, if any of you want to come in, don't just wait for me to go to each individual, because there, I want to make sure everyone gets their views on all the stuff. Go ahead, Aoife.
If you look, you said there about the government having construction, somebody being over a barrel. If I accept a contract of building 40 houses for that price, it should be held to that contract. That is the price, that's what you signed. I don't know if any of you are familiar with a man called Donald Byrne. He runs a company called Byrne Ready Built. It is a modular home factory down in Mayo, and he goes up and down the country. And he started a campaign to de-VAT construction for people, for families and couples that are trying to build their first home. Take construction out of it, that's lowering the price alone by 40,000 to 50,000 euro on a nothing fancy but a normal self build. You look at the children's hospital, that had a fixed fee. Why were they not held legally to abide by that fixed fee? Why did the government bend over and be like, here's another billion, and it's still not done? That they need to start abiding by their contracts.
Okay, so with that in mind and how we absorb news and information we take on, the Children's Hospital, the bike shed, we heard today OPW spent 514,000 euro on a 33-page document, right? Does that bother you? When you're thinking about how you might vote, does how public money is spent and used, it already obviously does to you, Aoife. Does the rest of you, does it bother you? Is that something you're factoring into your decisions?
Yeah, especially the recent 9 million spent on pouches in secondary school. We're not long out of secondary school, and I can't imagine that benefiting anybody. And I know there have been interviews with teachers, and I haven't seen an interview of a teacher saying, yes, this is brilliant, we've been asking for this. If it was for the benefit of mental health, they would put maybe more counsellors in secondary schools or more services like Jigsaw, but
Jigsaw could do a lot with 9 mil.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, Mohammed.
Regarding Aisling, as she said, like, it is completely and utterly disappointing to see that when Sinn Féin has actually proposed in their finance bill to reduce the hospitality VAT from 13.5% to around 9%, and it was completely and utterly rejected by the Fine Gael and Fine Gael government. But such an issue where they actually issue 9 million euros for phone pouches, that would necessarily not benefit anyone. And neither, I believe, the students, if they actually would need to use their phones, they wouldn't need the pouches at the first place. They would find a reason to actually use them.
Yeah.
And helicopter parents might also find a way around that as well. Yeah. Okay, we're in conversation with four students from the ATU, younger people, talking about, you know, the issues that are important to me, how they may vote. Mohammed, I just want to speak a little bit more specifically about the reduction in the VAT rate. I think Fine Gael are proposing a reduction to 11%. I think it might exclude hotels. You talked of Sinn Féin's proposals already to reduce it to 9%. Why is this something so important to you?
I believe because my mother, she works in the health sector specifically. So, and I have actually been exposed to the health environment. So it is something that is of importance at the first place, especially when you consider the future generations when they actually become doctors and actually work in the health sectors, and even for the general public in that regards. On the contrary, where they could approve the phone pouches, I believe such an important bill should actually be passed and considered of.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Mohammed, too, and I'll go across the panel here. Where do you get your information? Where do you source your information as to how you might vote, primarily?
I usually go through the news outlets and mainly through social media because I follow each and every one of them.
So is it social media sort of opinion givers, or is it news organisations?
It's a mix of every research that I get. I Google, do YouTube, and read articles mainly.
Yeah.
And it's a combination, I believe, of everything that I've collected so far.
Ashley, what about you? Where do you source your information?
I think where I see things first is definitely social media. Mm. And then I don't believe everything I see on social media.
What is it, the Journal? Is it RTE? Is it someone who's pretty vocal on the left of politics, the right of politics?
Like, it would be like Simon Harris. He's on TikTok.
The TikTok T-Shock.
Or even Mary Lou on TikTok. She comes up my algorithm a lot. But then I don't exactly believe what they're saying. I go and do my own research because they can maybe like twist it in their own words to make
but
it.
But your first port of call, your first piece of information is often the leaders of the parties themselves speaking to you directly via TikTok. And then you go, right, well, I'm going to check into that myself.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, okay. And it is primarily TikTok?
Yeah.
Okay, what about you? God, I can't remember your name. I'm so flustered here. I've drank too much coffee. I know Joseph. I've got, you know, Joseph Sweeney. What about you, Joseph?
Well, for me, I mean, I have a few different friend groups that would just speak always just regarding politics.
So you're in an echo chamber then?
Essentially, yeah. But I mean, it's stations like this. It's Highland, it's Donegal Daily, it's Irish Times, it's things like that, where I'm never going to go and sort of, sorry, contrary to Aisling, but I'm never going to watch one of their TikToks in terms of political.
And we finally read the whole article, all because, you know, we're so influenced by snapshots and social media.
Yeah.
Do you find that you begin to tail off your interest when you start reading an article?
Not me particularly, but I do understand for some people, like, it is short form video content. It is TikToks. It is things like that that'll grab their attention for 15 seconds and then sort of move on. But me personally, I would sort of read through the whole article. I would try to take every sort of bit out of it. But I know for the majority of students, I would say it probably isn't that way.
Aoife, what about you?
Probably showing my age here, but it would be the party's website.
Yeah.
And if it's relation to independent, it will be what that person is doing, what they want to do and what their beliefs are. Now, I have stated that I am very passionate about Sinn Féin. I wouldn't be somebody that would go to bat for them.
Yeah.
They have their errors, so does every party out there. So I spent a lot of time reading up on different parties and different manifestos, and one that stood out to me and really left me disgusted was Into's one. So their website has 16 points on it, social behaviour, immigration. They kind of just picked 16 areas and they spoke about the 16, and not once on Into's manifesto did students get a mention. No recognition at all. So the consideration for Into was 90% out of the window then, because if you're not going to look after the future of the country, really, what is your manifesto
but
doing?
But Joseph, seemingly you can see past that. You said you can see yourself leaning in that direction.
Well, I mean, they are one of the parties sort of in my contention, I suppose. They're sort of, I don't know, sort of, it's a dated sort of reference at this point, but their sort of left-leaning sort of economic stance would be for me in terms of sort of things that are said in manifestos and things you can take bits from that, but like not everything is going to be mentioned. I would rather ask a straightforward question to Mary T, to whoever it is, what are you going to do for students? Mm-hmm. What is your plan? Because as I said, you can't put everything in a manifesto and a lot of it is sometimes unnecessary.
Yeah, but you're making apologies for politicians though, aren't you? I mean, they should be getting this stuff right, shouldn't they?
No, absolutely, absolutely. But it's a consistent thing of everybody, and I think that's the political structure that we're in at the moment, where it's just everyone can just do what they like.
Aoife, did you want to come back on that?
Yeah, if you're going to take time to put on a website of 16 different topics, you're going to include antisocial behaviour as one of them, which is a small minority. Why can you not give the tens and thousands of students, ETU alone has 26,000 students, why do we not get a say, yet we're expected? She's been in the college. I'm not just talking about Mary T on her own. Aintu, I'm sure plenty of Aintu representatives have been in colleges up and down the country. I'm sure a lot of them have kids. They would have had to put them through university. They should know the struggles. They should get some form of mention.
Okay.
When Aintu can turn around and on their page, now it's very well hidden, but it's there about their intention to repeal the right to life and the abortion. That is all in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yet students don't get a mention.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of controversies, so, I mean, there's a number of you here sort of are leaning towards Sinn Féin. And you know, it's I think if we picked randomly four people in the age bracket we have here, they're probably more than likely to vote Sinn Féin. That seems to be what polls are suggesting for us. But I'm very curious as to the controversies, right? So, you know, their own admittance that they sort of flip-flop a bit in migration, got it wrong on the referendum, the issue with the senator, the issue with the press person, the references that were given to that press person. I'm just wondering, and I'll ask you, Aisling, does that matter? Do those controversies matter? Because the media spent 3 weeks on them, right, effectively. I mean, Sinn Féin couldn't get a look in for 3 weeks. Would any of that make you sort of second guess how you might vote?
Yeah, definitely, especially the most recent referendum when they sided with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to vote yes, when Sinn Féin is supposed to be the leading opposition party. That really confused me. And I know a lot of people, they got a lot of criticism for that. And I think they didn't do enough research on it, and it just looked like a rushed decision to try to get into the government. Mm-hmm. Kind of in a
Would those kind of controversies, Mohammed, influence you?
It really just depends. I would say I'm really much more inclined towards the works of the government, because I have been looking into the judgments of the European Court of Justice, and I have even noticed that the Ireland's water supply, especially the drinking one, it is actually not meeting the European standards at the first place. So the government should be blamed for that at the first place, because there has been a chemical found in high concentration. I think it's called the trihalomethanes, that is actually injurious to health, and it could actually cause cancer. So something like these, which are very tiny, but they could cause a major impact in a society, they should be resolved.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay. And we're paying millions in fines annually because not meeting those standards. I do believe that water meets the EPA standards, but not the EU standards. Joseph, controversies, and it could be controversies surrounding any party, right? I'm just curious if because you're not getting like the Independent, the Times, the Daily Mail, RTE bashing Sinn Féin for the last 2 or 3 weeks, right? It'll be the tone of another party in the not too distant future. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong, but that's not going to affect you as much, really, because you're not getting your news from there. But does that stuff bother you in terms of who you might vote for?
I believe, to be honest, that in terms of what I've been saying previously about the political structure, we're in an age where it's not about I will deliver this. It's what the other party will not deliver. You're trying to bring down the other party for things that either to do with politics or a lot of the time nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with their actual manifesto, nothing to do with the things they will deliver. And some controversies look specific to me will be like, okay, I've seen that, fair enough, good reporting, that's a reason I'm not going to vote for you. But I think parties need to spend more time actually saying we are the good option rather than they are the bad option.
Yeah, so it's pointing out what they're going to do, but see, then it turns into a race to the bottom, because if you're under attack, you have to attack, don't you? Aoife, what about you? How, especially as a mum, I suppose, you know, because some of this we're talking about, you know, children's welfare and what have you. Is this, would that factor into your thinking?
It would. Obviously, as a mother myself, I just before the bike shelter came out, I had a phone call from the nursery that we cannot afford to provide these lunches. Now, we are in a Jesh area. The government are meant to provide them. The nursery was underfunded. The school is underfunded. Children themselves, if you cannot fund children, what's the point in doing anything else? Because they're the future. And I'm looking then at, just go back to Simon Harris, because I'm trying to balance the two things of what the media have put out there. Simon Harris said he'd get rid of the student contribution on a phased out basis. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have had 4 years to roll that out. In one of their budgets, they reduced it by €1,500. Great, it looked like a good start. Last budget there in October, it was only reduced by 1,000. And I will say that is pure propaganda, because that is only for students that are eligible for what's called the free fee scheme. but yet the media turn around and make it look like it is for every university student. It is not, and it is very hard to get.
Bloody media. Aoife, in sort of like a pie chart or percentages or whatever it might be, and I think you actually kind of indicated you voted along these lines previously, how important is a candidate's, I don't know, race or gender to you when deciding who you might vote for? Because if you look at the county council, for an example, the county council is incredibly underrepresented in terms of women. At the very least, I think it's 8% are women, but really it's 2 or 3 out of 37, right? So it's nowhere near to be there. Now, we've had strong candidates that run in Donegal, but they often can struggle to get over the line. So I'm just wondering, from a young person's perspective, does that weight your decision-making?
It does, and I'd love to see a party that not only run a lot of women, but people of colour are... there's never been a senator, TD, or somebody sitting of colour. It would be lovely to see them in because they have a voice. It's about time they were given a say in matters that affect them.
Well, Leo Varadkar led the country and he was mixed race.
No, African descent.
Okay, I get you. Yeah, I understand. Right, yeah, I get you.
Like, that aren't necessarily Irish. It would be nice to see them in and them given a voice, but as well as that, if a party ran people with different disabilities and different abilities, gave them a voice because matters do affect them.
Mm. But would that influence your decision-making process?
It probably would. Okay. I'd like to see some people given a voice. Like, I love the way women have been given a voice in politics, and that's becoming such a big thing. I did vote for... The last time I voted, it was a woman candidate because, like I said, I read the manifestos and she seemed to be the one most concerned with things that would affect me from a women's point of view, and as well as that, the men didn't have a very good track record where I'm from.
Aisling, would someone's race or gender influence how you might vote in their favour?
I think, the fact that we've never had a female Taoiseach is such a huge thing. Like, it's 2024.
Yeah, it's bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, and... it would be amazing to see a female Taoiseach, but I think just because someone's a woman doesn't mean I'd vote for them at the same time.
The policy has to back up that, but that could be, it could tip the scale.
Yeah, right, okay, definitely.
What about you, Joseph?
Yeah, I think it's, to be honest, more about encouraging these people to actually run, people from a minority background, like actually encouraging them to actually get out and be a part of this process.
I think the political landscape is so toxic now.
Yeah.
That people now will get abused based on their skin colour or their religion without their policies even being considered. I'm not sure how big that is, right? But it's very noisy. It's seemingly big, but maybe it's not.
Absolutely. I mean, perhaps it is a minority that is criticising just blatantly just because you are from a minority background, but it is a loud minority. I think it is important whether or not you would... you know, make a party stance that you have to have this amount of women or this amount of people from African descent or things like that. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. Yeah, like quotas. Yeah, it's the best candidate for the best position, but this can be from any race. It doesn't really matter.
Mohammed, what about you?
I believe, we should be giving the minorities a chance, especially say in the politics. And because, to be honest, they have a quite different thought and the way they see things.
Mm-hmm.
This could even influence the society and the country in a positive way. And it would actually be good to see someone to actually be in the power, as Aoife said. Other than that, I believe this would highly impact the people for the good.
Yeah. Do you feel represented in Irish politics?
Have an interest?
Yeah. No, do you feel represented? Do you know what I mean? Because you're of a different background, but do you feel that, would you like to see more diversity in politics? I'm just wondering if, as someone who maybe comes from a minority community, however people wish to phrase that, if you feel underrepresented as a result, if you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't really mind that sort of fact, But I would say it would be amazing to see such people.
Yeah, I get you.
They would actually, they have their own ideas at the first place, so, which might impact the community.
Okay, well, listen, Mohammed, thank you so much for calling in. The time has absolutely flew. Aisling, thank you as well. Joseph, good to see you. And Aoife, good to have you back up again. All four of you. It's been a really fascinating a fascinating insight. The votes are there. It's about getting the message there, the right message, and people feeling that they've been spoken to, I think, and represented and engaged with, because we all that's what we all want. But all four of you, listen, thanks so much for taking the time out of your morning, and we might do this again. Thank you, all of you.